Älskar du den här podden? Stötta den genom IKAs nya supporterfunktion. Det är helt upp till dig hur mycket du vill bidra med och det finns ingen bindningstid. Klicka på länken i poddbeskrivningen för att visa din uppskattning och stötta podden.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Hey, and welcome to the Odd Job podcast again. And this time we are guested by Ryan. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you.
So happy to have you here. Ryan Bustle.
The one and only.
Yeah. And of course,
Nagme Camus.
Yeah. And Alphonse Kibilenso. So this time we're going to talk a little bit about being in the middle of the comedy business in Sweden and also in parallel have a day job. Why do you have a day job, Ryan?
Because I can't pay the bills with beer.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately.
I wish we could, though. Wouldn't that be great?
Pay with beer?
Yeah. No money, only beer. But Ryan, you and Erik Börjesson and Jenny Cash, you are running Power Comedy Club.
Correct. Power Comedy Club. Yeah. Brother Tuck on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
And then also Cash Comedy. Cash Comedy Club.
That's right.
Slow round. That's our traveling concept. So we do special shows with that.
Okay. So Power Comedy, that's at?
Brother Tuck.
Yeah.
Skansel.
Yeah. Götgatan, right?
85, yep.
Yeah. And you're doing that 2 days a week.
Yes.
2 nights a week.
We are insane. Yeah. We started doing just 1 night a week. The goal eventually is to do it many times a week. We started with 1 night, and then we graduated to two.
So yeah.
Slow increase.
Wow. Yeah. So tell us a little about that. What's the why did you start it? Because it's a special club, actually. I mean, it's the only open mic in Stockholm.
It's the only real open mic. We're kind of proud of that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, our whole idea was we thought, okay, well, if we leave it really open, so really anyone that shows up looking for a spot, it's going to get on. Now, you never know who's going to be there. Like Magnus Bettner could show up and get a spot. Soren Ismail could show up and not get a spot. You know, I mean, anyone. That was the joke.
Thank you for explaining.
I really want him to show up, but don't give him a spot. I want to be the club that doesn't give him a spot.
Yeah. Can I have a spot? Yeah. No, you can't. There's so many unknown comedians that are really shitty here today, so you can't get a spot.
What I really love about the concept is, I mean, no Stockholm comic, any comic who's come up in this scene and not been around doesn't really have a real clear idea of what it's like anywhere else. If you go anywhere else, if you go to London, go to New York City, and go to an open mic, the audience is pretty much entirely the comics that are on that night. Mm. We wanted to give people that experience. Like, this is what it's really like. This is what comedy is really like. To show up, you get 5 minutes. You have to keep your time. There are other clubs where you get 5 minutes, and you go on for 7, 8, 9, and no one's waving you off. And like for us, like, we want to be strict on time. Just give as many people a chance as we could.
Yeah.
For me, Power Comedy Club was very important in order to be able to continue. Because, as you know, I went to course for AMI. And in that course, you could have a gig at Big Ben. And after that, I wouldn't continue, maybe, if it wasn't for Power. Because at Power, I could go again and again. So not only I could try my material, I could meet other comedians that would pep in, you know, give you encouragement when you give up, when you don't want to continue anymore. So for me, it's the place to be.
We make it easy.
Yeah.
This other thing is, I mean, there are so many clubs in town, and the reality is you could perform very often at pretty much any club in town if you keep going there, if you keep like nagging for time, you'll get on at least sometimes, maybe not all the time. But we don't really do that that much in Stockholm, like not anymore, because like some clubs have a booking system where you email someone and you find out, okay, you can be on 2 months. Okay, then I'll come in 2 months. Mm. Not go to every show like hunting, like really grinding, which is something you would do anywhere else.
Yeah.
But at least with us, if you show up, you're going to get on. We haven't had a night yet. We always said if the night gets like 1 o'clock in the morning and there's no one there, then we're going to say, okay, we'll end the show. But we haven't had to do that yet. There's always someone there. Always someone there to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. And another unique opportunity that I think that I have as a comedian is that something that I think is very unique with Power Comedy Club is that you can stay and hang out with other comedians. And that's, I don't think that you have it anywhere else, and not anywhere I have, not in the form that you have it at Power. Have you noticed that some comedians come quite late just to hang
just
out?
Just to hang, yeah, that does happen. And that's one thing I mentioned that before, that I really missed that. Mafia Comedy used to be at Bar Spaka and Underbar Bar, and both places had like great rooms just for the comics to hang.
Wow.
And when they, Mafia doesn't do shows there anymore, there really wasn't a place for comics just to hang out. Of course, you can hang out anywhere, but like a real place to really hang. Mm. So I was happy that Power kind of became that for so many people. My problem is that when I've done the show, I've been there with Brother Tuck for 4 hours, you know, first to set things up, then the show goes on, then take things down, and I live in Knivsta, which is very far away. The last thing I can do is hang out even later, which is a shame because I see people hang out and I want to join. Someday I will, someday.
Yeah, so when you're doing Power Comedy, what time are you back in Knivsta again?
It depends on how late it gets. But if I'm lucky, I catch the last train home, and then I'm home at like 1 in the morning. Otherwise, night bus, which has happened more often than I'd like to admit. Then it could be 3, 4 in the morning, and then back to work next day.
Yeah, that was it's really a cool place. The same thing for me, actually, because if it weren't for Power Comedy, I wouldn't still be doing comedy, actually, because... Mm. You need some continuity to get up on a stage, do your writing, and just trying out and learning how it is to be up there. So it's been tremendous, actually. And I remember the first time I went down, you know, I met you and Erik and Jenny, and really welcome. You're really insecure when you're starting, you know, walking down in the basement and, okay, who's the owners here? That was fantastic. I think it's a great place. I'm really grateful.
Thank you.
Think.
And it was few time that I felt that it's hard, you know, being a comedian. It emotionally you go through so many things that makes you doubt yourself and you don't want to continue because it's, yeah, you know how it is. It's scary to stay in front of people and talk. So it has been time that I gave up and I just came and I just go and I don't do a gig. I just go there. I don't want to do a gig. And I remember that you, Erik, and Jenny, you noticed that. So they took turn and somehow encouraging me. And it was very important. Like for a club owner having a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. That I call it for really, really caring about the comedians. Yeah. And
we do, but there's one thing, though. We are desperate for women.
Oh, that's why.
If Alphonse was showing up every time, we'd be like, oh, okay, Alphonse is here. You don't want a gig? Oh, that's too bad. We have 80 other guys.
Yeah.
You show up, say, please go on. It can only take so many dick jokes. Of course, you've both been regulars. You both have been coming so often, so it is nice. Yeah, absolutely, get on.
So the same doesn't go for the boys who give up. Yeah. Yeah. Who cares?
No, but there's so many. I mean, if you look at the comedy scene, there's so many guys actually trying it out, but not that many women at all. I don't know why, but it's increasing, though, isn't it? I don't really know because I'm too new to the scene, actually. What's the status?
Go ahead.
No, sorry. No, I insist.
I was going to say that rookies come in waves.
Okay.
And also, I want to make a point really clear here. I've been doing comedy now for about 8 years, and I am a rookie. I'm a rookie comic. I've been running clubs. I have no idea how many gigs I've done.
You're not rookie, but okay.
But the thing is, I am, though, and that's what makes it really difficult to talk to other comics in Stockholm, because on a Stockholm level, I'm a veteran. But if I go anywhere else, if I walk into a club in London or New York City and say, yeah, I'm a veteran comic, I've done this for 8 years, they would look at me like, who the hell are you?
Shut the fuck up.
If you've been doing comedy for less than 10 years, you're absolutely a rookie.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is there's no really good word for like rookie, and then rookie.
Yeah, so you wanted to have the different. Yeah, it sounds like me. I want ABC level on everything. Yeah.
So you can reach further and further. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we need some more levels, actually, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. Something
Ryan, you're being modest. You're not a rookie. So
at least we don't consider you that.
No,
at the Odd Job. So
no, thanks. That's you're both very fresh. And I appreciate that. I can be a mentor. But anyone like real veteran will listen to this, like, who the hell is he talking? Why is he telling them anything?
That's great. How did you start, Ryan? What, 8 years ago, was it?
8 years ago, yeah, just about.
So what's your starting point? Why did you start?
Well, to go back, I've been in love with comedy with Sam since I was 11 years old. Okay. And then,
what was your first memory of comedy when you really, you know?
Really seized on it?
Yeah.
I can't remember my exact first. I used to watch, because I'm old enough, when cable really took off in America and they were dying for content, stand-up was there. So there was a lot of stand-up on TV, but it was all like very basic cable, so you couldn't say bad words at all.
Okay.
And then I was my clearest memory is I was 11 years old. My father remarried, and after the party, a friend of the family drove me home, and he was like an hour home. And he was like 24, 25, and he put on an album called No Respect by Rodney Dangerfield. And I was so blown away. I was like, I thought the guy I was with was like the coolest guy ever. Yeah. He, like, I was 11 years old, but he let me listen to like this like adult album, like where they were saying bad words, and he was like saying telling dirty jokes.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love completely. And my parents were both pretty hands off. I really could pretty much watch anything I wanted to. So I saw a lot of stuff that was so far above my age, just absorbed it all. And I just loved it forever. And I always would say to people, like, yeah, I'd love to try sometime. I'd love to try sometime. I'd love to try sometime. And never did.
You never did back in the States?
Never did back in the States. Okay. No. So I was here and I was working for a company. I was out for a walk with a couple of guys after lunch. And I said for the millionth time, yeah, I love stamp. I'd love to try it sometime. And one guy said, oh, you should. You absolutely should. There's a guy in my class in high school who's a comic now, and that was Farsad Nori.
Okay.
It's like, okay. And then like the second I saw like there was like a real opportunity to do it, I thought, okay, now I have to. I can't just keep talking about it. Now I have to. So I looked into it, and I heard about Bungee Comedy. And Bungee was in Stockholm at the time, and it was a competition for absolute beginners, like never been on stage before as a competition. So I started with that, and then I met someone on the road who runs Big Ben there, and I started going to Big Ben every show. Like, can I get on? No. Can I get on? No. Can I get on? Maybe 3 minutes? No. Can I get on? No. Okay. For months.
Yeah.
And finally, they answered my emails, and I started. There was no booking system back in those days. So it took several months, but then I was like hooked, and I was going every time.
Okay, cool. So you started here. I was thinking you started actually back in the States even.
No, I should have, but no, I never did.
Okay, cool. How about Nagmi? Do you have any? What's your first comedy experience?
I wasn't that much into stand-up comedy, but what I had seen, it was like Trevor Noah and some Iranian comedians that has gone famous in England, and like Omid Jalili or Max Amini.
Is that comedy in Farsi or is it in English?
No, they do in English. Okay. And they are like, when they come to Sweden, I think Omid Jalili came to Sweden a while ago, like it's like 300-400 people. They have international people going and look. They are quite big. So no, I didn't have that much experience. And here in Sweden, I mostly knew about like Iranian comedians.
Yeah.
Like Zinat Pirzadeh. So it's off there. I went for Amit's course and I started at Big Ben and Power. Then I got interested, but still I don't know the most famous comedians.
Neither do I, actually. I don't have that, you know. I don't know nothing at all, actually. But my favorite, my first, you know, comic stand-up moment was listening to Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. And his I had this cassette tape, Raw. That was back in 84. I was studying at Salt Lake City, University of Utah, and I got this tape, and that was, it blew me away, actually. Mm. I listened to that. I think I've listened to it, you know, like 2 times a day for 4 years or something.
Oh, wow.
I love that. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. But what was the name of his show? Was
Raw.
Oh.
Yeah, that was
Raw.
The second album. Yeah, yeah. Delirious came
Delirious
before that.
Was the first one,
and
yeah.
Yeah, I watched that when that came out. And my mother kind of like saw me watching it. Yeah. She was kind of shaking her head like, oh, you shouldn't be watching this. But she still like quotes jokes from that album.
Yeah.
Like it's held up. Not everything is held up. If you go back and watch it now, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
But a lot of it has.
Some of it, actually. Yeah, it's fun. So, Ryan, what about trends? I'm curious. You've been in the business for a long time. By our standards, at least. But you know, the trends. What's the trends? What was it? If you compare today's stand-up comedians with, say, 8 years or something ago in Sweden, can you see a trend shifting?
Singing seems to be a new thing.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't know why, but there are more comics singing as part of their sets.
Oh.
I have no idea why. Now, trend-wise, we're talking about waves.
Yeah.
And I know when you both came on the scene, just then, there was a wave of fresh faces. And then a lot of them you don't see anymore.
Okay.
Since you started, a lot of them kind of have fallen off. And that will happen again. It happens in waves.
Oh.
Suddenly, there's a lot of new faces on the scene. Suddenly, there's like 8 clubs will open up. It explodes.
Yeah.
And then it all kind of goes away for a while. And then it's waves just coming back, coming and going.
Mm. I can imagine it because, yeah, I mean, I've been to stand-up for a year. No, 10 months, actually, but soon. 30th of January, 2019, I have my first anniversary.
I
think so. I did my first stand-up gig at Big Ben 30th of January this year. Yeah. That was scary as hell.
Yeah, I remember. It was for me as well.
I was going somewhere with this, but I lost
sorry.
It, actually.
You're asking about trends or waves.
Yeah, you were talking about your anniversary. Yeah.
Trend and waves. There were so many new faces, you were saying. That's right. So I was thinking that it always was a lot of new people trying stand up out, but I can just during this year I've seen a lot of people not coming back. Actually, they do 1 or 2 gigs, 3 gigs, 4 maybe, and then they don't really keep on grinding because I'm guessing. I thought it would go faster, that it would be better faster, but it's such a hard work. It's really hard to be good. I mean,
and honestly, it should be. We do make it easy at Power. As again, everyone who shows up gets on. It does not matter about skill level or anything. Whatever you want to do. I see a lot of people who like they don't develop, but they're happy doing it. So
yeah,
okay. It is what you want to get out of it.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah.
But I know when I first started, I learned one of the first things I learned by talking to people and asking everyone like how long you've been doing this. And I met a lot of people. 6 months, 8 months. A year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. There was a huge gap after just 3 years.
Mm.
There's a lot of people who will do it. They'll do it that long, after 3 years, think, okay, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting any of this.
Well,
not enjoying it, and they quit.
Mm. You have to enjoy it. I mean, even if it doesn't go good, I mean, you have to enjoy it. It should feel good though. Being up on stage, I love it. Even when I'm bombing, in a sense, I'm still loving it. I like it. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, the same goes for me, I think. Yeah.
It's really weird.
And that's why I tell everyone, people who say, I would never dare. I could never dare to try stand-up. I ask them, like, okay, have you ever told a joke to your friends that you thought was really funny and no one else did? And everyone says, yes, of course. That's all stand-up is. Yeah. It's like we like everything we say. Like everything we say is fine to us. And it sucks when no one agrees with you. that's a bombing. But it still doesn't take away the fact that you enjoy it.
That's right. Yeah,
you're just trying to convince as many of them as you can that you are correct, that it is funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I guess that's the trick. I mean, I can see when you go to a club and you have a gig and the audience is not, you know, really responding, and you can see the first comedian coming up and the response is really, well, cold at the best. And then, you know, you have four or five comedians coming up, same response. And then you have a really, you know, skillful comedian coming up and just lifting the room.
Those are always the ones I respect the most. I've seen comics do that. Like walk into any room, doesn't matter circumstances or anything, and just turn it all around.
Do you have
That's where I want to be. I want to be there. I can turn any room around.
Yeah. Then you're really then you're funny for real, right?
Yeah.
Do you have an example? Do you have a favorite Swedish comedian that has this capacity?
Well, I can say the one example that springs to mind. I had a gig. I just started. I've been doing comedy for less than a year. And at the time, I had a job that was taking me living in Sweden. I had a job that was taking me to Dublin on a regular basis. So when I went to Dublin, I would do comedy also. So there for business, but also for pleasure. And I loved it. Mm. And at that time, it always seems like there were kind of phases that comics go through. A lot of comics go through initially, start off, and the goal is, okay, I'm gonna make people laugh. And you do that. And then your next phase is, okay, now I can offend them. Now I can make them groan and say really offensive stuff instead. And I was very much in that phase. Mm. I was in Dublin performing, and it was a comedy competition also. And I had coworkers in Dublin who came to see me. And I just purposely just drove the hammer home and just dug a giant crater. And I was so happy. I walked off stage like, yes, I did it. And the coworkers were like, why did you do that? Like, you were doing so well. I said, I don't care what they think.
Oh.
And then the next day I came back to Sweden and I had a gig at a Solna comedy club, which doesn't exist anymore. And it was my longest gig ever. I was going to do 12 minutes. I was so excited. I invited like everyone I knew, and like 15 people came to see me. Mm. And I bombed so badly. It was at an offside sports bar.
Yeah.
There were people there for eat dinner that had no idea there was a show. So they were irritated. And I was staying right next. There's no stage. I was like staying next to a table full of people who were pissed off that I was talking to microphone. My back was soaked with sweat. I think I had like five minutes.
Yeah.
And I just walked off like, oh, this is the worst feeling ever. And the next two comics went on, same thing. Because the sound system was awful. No one cared about anything. And then Melody Farshan went on.
Yeah.
And she turned everything the entire night completely around. Because she didn't like just go into her material or anything. She just like talked to people and she addressed the room and just changed the whole feeling for everyone.
Wow.
And just made me feel like even more of a failure.
Yeah. But it's good though to see that, because you get a reflection and you see that, okay, I need to work this in another way if I'm going to lift the room. Or I mean, you learn by watching.
Yeah.
But I've seen so many times someone go on stage just purposely offensive, just blatantly dark.
Yeah.
Like not intending to get laughter and then walk off stage like nailed it.
Ooh.
Nailed it. It was a fantastic gig. It's like, no, you clearly bombed. But they're so happy because that's what they wanted.
Yeah, okay.
And not caring at all about the audience or the club or anything.
So, but my challenge actually is every time I go up, my aim is to get everybody to laugh. I'm really serious about that. And when I don't get the laughter, I need to go home, do my homework and be better next time. But my goal is always to actually please. I mean, not please in selling out myself all the time, but my aim is to have a material or work myself to the position where I can be funny. And I'm standing on the stage, I'm supposed to entertain. That's my view of it. But, you know, that's me.
when I was in bungee comedy,
yeah,
there was one other American that was actually in my group. It was a lot of people then.
Someone we know? No.
No, because okay. I never saw him again.
Yeah, okay.
So that's, but in Bungie, you had 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. That was it. You had 3 minutes. You had to hold your time. And he spent his entire 3 minutes. The essential of the punchline was anal sex is a pain in the ass, huh? Like literally, it was 3 minutes about having anal sex with his girlfriend. That was it. That's the only thing he talked about for 3 minutes. And I sat there wondering, like, why is he going to spend 3 minutes talking about only that? He was the first of many comics I've seen do that.
Really?
It's like everyone comes up like, I bet no one's ever talked about this before. It's like everyone has talked about this. We get it. There's nothing new you can say.
If you want to shock, it's really hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it can be quite, it could be quite cool if it was just few people who would go up and they're talking loads about like the sex life, penis and stuff. But since so many people do it, then it's not cool anymore.
It's really hard to find like new ground. Like pretty much everything has been, but in general, it's hard to be like entirely 100% original. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about every topic has been addressed in some way. Yeah. Try to come up with some new point on it, but
yeah.
But sex is an easy one because sex makes everyone uncomfortable, or it's very important to a lot of people, so it's a good topic in general. But yeah, if you're just trying to shock, it's not going to happen.
No, I'm guessing not. That's going to be a hard thing to do, actually, in a good way, in a funny way. But you've been out touring also, right?
Yes,
I have. With?
With Team America. We did that last year.
Yeah.
So it was me and five other comics.
Who was on it? You and...
It was me and Jonathan Rollins, Yemi Afolabi, Catherine Leroux, and David T. Weaver. And we also brought on, as like guests, because David actually went to the U.S. for a few months. So in the meantime, we brought in Ben Richards was on, Kirstie Armstrong was on, Stephen Christensen. We had like rotating guests on as well.
Cool.
And we went all over.
So how's that? Is that very different from doing a club gig?
Very different and very humbling.
Is it?
The worst story. Well, we were gonna do a show in, I'm trying to remember the name of the town now. We're gonna do a show in Vesterbeek, and the arranger, it was like a separate arranger from our main tour. Someone else kind of came in and said, "Oh, I want to arrange a few shows." And our arranger said, "Okay, you want to do a show in Vesterbeek? Is there any towns nearby where we could also do a show and make the road trip worthwhile?" And he said, "Yes, there is. There's Vimmerby."
That's Astrid Lindgren's world. Yeah, yeah.
I might be mixing them up now. It doesn't really matter.
No, it's the first thing, maybe, yeah.
The first night we were at the first show, the arranger had told us it's a Friday night. This restaurant that we're going to is really famous for their after work. So people who are there for dinner will be able to come and see the show also. And we were driving there. It took forever to get there. He told us on the phone, like, there's like 80 people here. It's going to be amazing. We get there and immediately start annoying the people that are there. Ben Richards actually hosted that night. And Catherine was on stage at the time, early on, and someone in like, there was a huge group of like 20 people at one table. And someone had actually gotten up to go talk to the waitress and say, is there anywhere else we can sit? Because they were trying to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And we were annoying them. So the waitress said, yes, you can, we have another place you can sit. The problem with that room was that the door for that room was right next to the stage. So between the waitress and this woman running in and out, in and out, in and out, the entire table got up and walked. They filed out past Catherine while she's on stage.
Oh, my God.
And they weren't done. Like, when Catherine was done, they still weren't leaving the room. So Ben went on, and he like was like shaking hands with people as they walked out. That's how close they were. So we ended up doing a show for four.
Oh, really?
Yeah, four.
Oh,
four
wow.
People stayed to actually watch the show. Yeah. So then you realize, it's very hard to be a traveling comic when you're completely unknown.
That was sad to hear because I was imagining that to be, you know, a success every time in my head. You destroyed that picture, right? You killed it.
Well, we learned the important thing is you need to build up a fan base before you go on tour.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go on tour as a complete unknown. And we loved the concept, the whole Team America. We thought that would be enough to sell. And it did a bit. But it didn't get like the huge crowds. It wasn't a big money-making tour for any of us.
But I'm guessing it worked in Gothenburg and Malmö and bigger cities. But
in Malmö was fantastic. And Gothenburg was okay. Malmö was really nice.
Really.
But even then, it's just so hard to reach out, let people know that who we are, that there's a show or anything. In Malmö was a lot of fun because people were really excited that we're there, and then we hung out afterwards, and several were saying, "I wish more people knew about this."
Yeah.
I think we had like 40 people in Malmö, and we could have had 100 if we just had somehow reached out to everyone that we exist.
Mm. Because I'm guessing, I mean, comedy in English would be really appreciated because there's so many people speaking English in Sweden. And, you know, that would be a great thing.
But they, the problem is they don't go out that much.
No, maybe not. I mean,
there are real like expat communities like on Facebook. There's Americans in Sweden and this and that. So I can talk to those people, but it feels like they rarely leave their home.
Okay.
don't go out.
They have at Big Ben on Thursdays, I think it is. They always have the first half in English, and lots of English-speaking people coming down there.
So. Are they, or are they more Swedish people?
I think that, I mean, I went there this Thursday, and it was really packed actually. And after the English part, maybe 25% of the audience actually left when it turned to Swedish. Mm-hmm. So there is an audience, I guess, at least in Stockholm. Then, so that's I'm going to try to do it in English. Actually,
yeah, I
was aiming for doing it before this year ends, but
maybe you should have an English night at Power as well.
Yeah, well, we have done that.
Yeah,
but you don't need to. I know. Swedes tend to feel a bit weird.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Like speaking English on a night that's not an English night.
Yeah.
But there's really no reason you can't. You can always do it. Very, very rarely, and not for a long time, perform in Swedish. Mm. I started doing comedy here in Sweden, always in English.
Mm.
And you can, because everyone gets it.
Everyone understands. We're so used to it, I guess. We talked with Jonathan, also touched on doing it, maybe making him do it in Swedish, actually, because we would think that would be funny.
That's the main reason that's the main reason I don't perform Swedish often. Right, because right.
We're not going
to
convince you then, or?
No, but I have.
You have?
Yeah,
okay.
I have clips on YouTube where I've done it in Swedish.
Cool.
But I want the audience to laugh at the right reason. I don't want them laughing at my accent. Because I did that also in Solna. Berad had arranged a gig at a youth club.
Mm.
And I said, do you want to come? I said, yeah, okay, but what's their English like? He's like, oh, not very good. So okay, I'll perform in Swedish. And there were like 14, 15, like I think 17 was the oldest. Mm. I went on and started speaking Swedish, and immediately they were just the audience of kids were just laughing at my accent. It's like you're not hearing a word I say, you're just mocking my heart.
So you had a club. It was a club at Solna. Where about?
Oh, this one was like a special event at the youth club, that second one. But the other one, Solna Common Club, that was at Offside Sports Bar, which is Solna Centrum.
Yeah.
But that was many years ago.
So did people come?
No.
No.
No. It was a terrible club. Sorry, Berad. It was awful.
Yeah, there's so many clubs starting up and then disappearing.
Mm.
I mean, it's hard. It must be hard to keep a club going.
It's very hard. It's not the most rewarding thing on earth. Mm. One thing you learn very quickly is now with Power, this is my fourth club.
Oh, fourth.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
I started with Taboo, and then when that closed, I opened Crossfire. And then when that closed, I helped out with Cash, helped Jenny start Cash, and now Power.
Yeah. What is the hardest thing with driving a club at
the hardest is the venue, because the venue always sucks. Wherever you're at, because in every case, like they'll approach you and say, hey, we don't have customers on such a certain night. Can you open a comedy club and give people a reason to come here? Like, yeah, absolutely. And then they do very little to actually support you. I would say I was very, very happy now with Power, because Brother Tuck, they actually put us on their TVs. We have posters up all the time. Mm. So they're actually very supportive, which is nice. But you never have a really solid, like, guaranteed relationship with the venue. You can be out whenever. Mm. And then Jonathan found that out. Like, he was working with the venue. It was going quite well. And then they said, oh, we want to do karaoke now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Karaoke of all things.
Yes.
Kicking out stand-up. Yeah. They're doing karaoke at Brew the Took also.
No, they tried that.
They tried, but it didn't work.
No, that was the thing.
Say yes, please.
Do you like karaoke?
No, I hate karaoke. I mean, I don't hate karaoke, but I mean, I would hate that a venue started doing karaoke instead of stand-up, because karaoke is so cheesy.
That's what happened. That's what happened, Brother Tuck. We started last February, mm-hmm. and we talked to the person there and said, okay, well, we'll start doing it on Thursday nights, and the main ambition is to add a second night, and we'll do Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, we'll get to Wednesdays. And then after the summer break, we came in, and the person we talked to said, can you do it on Tuesdays instead and Thursdays, because we're going to do karaoke on Wednesdays. Mm. This was like end of August. And I said, okay, yeah, we'll see what happens. And they tried karaoke for a month on Wednesdays, and it was such an abysmal failure. They said, well, if you want to do Wednesdays, you can. Like, sweet. <That's all right.
laughs> That must be so much nicer to put everything up and getting everything in order, and then have a second night not having to take down everything.
That's the best thing. Yeah, we set things up. Exactly. We set things up on Wednesday, and then we leave. We come back on Thursday. It's already done.
Yeah.
So it's just taking it down at the end of the night, which is nice.
Great.
Making room for death metal on weekends.
They have, really?
Yeah, they like always like death metal bands on the weekends.
Brew the Took.
Yeah.
That's hard.
So what is your worst memory from driving a club? Like worst crazy, from? Crazy memory. From like a club, not a comedian. Like somebody who have a club.
As a club owner?
Yeah. Crazy comedian or crazy audience?
There's been a bit of both. I think the word, maybe I guess what comes to mind is the final night of Crossfire. We were at Caliente, and that was a place where they wanted me to be there on Mondays, because they had no one was there on Mondays. Mm. No one. So we started going there Monday nights, and then people started coming in. It was going well. And then after a few years, they actually started having customers on Monday nights. And then we were annoying them with the show. Because there it's one big room for the whole restaurant. There's,
right.
there's no separate room. Mm. So we had already decided that we're going to do like two or three that fall. And then that was going to be the end. So it was like the season premiere. We were there. The show was going to start at 8 o'clock originally. They may have started at 8:30 instead, because give people time to eat and leave. This one night in particular, they had so many people there eating dinner. The owner kept coming to me and saying, can you push it a little longer? Can we start at 9? What if we start at 10?
Ooh.
It was it's a Monday night. It was a Monday night club. And the comics were already bored. And I said, we can stretch it a little bit. I think we started around like, we got close to 9.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then we started. And no one did. I mean, all comics all bombed. No one did well. And I, at the end of the night, just said, oh, thank you. That was our last show.
We're never coming back.
Not coming back, but thank you.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a bad end, because I like the club a lot. But yeah. Just.
But what is your best memory, best experience? Any special day or night?
Well, I'll go back to Crossfire then. In that case, because I got to know Magnus Bettinier, know him like a very very little bit.
Yeah.
But he was interested in performing English, and at Crossfire we were doing English nights like once a month. We're going to do all English, so. He agreed to do one, and he did it for free, which is fantastic. And then the entire place the entire place was completely packed. It was like to capacity, completely packed out for English.
Yeah.
To see him. And then Jenny was really excited because that was one of her first gigs ever.
Oh, okay.
So she has a picture like on stage. Well, everyone was on that night and Magnus Bentnier was there and she went on Facebook. I opened for Magnus Bentnier. She was very, very excited. So that was really good. And then like it was like a few months later, Greg Poehler said, he was booked for an English night and he's very competitive. So he said, I want to break the record. I said, you can't because you can tie is the best you can do because we were complete the capacity.
Yeah.
So I want to break it. And then it ended up being like just as many people, but a few people sat like directly behind the stage, like directly behind the stage for him.
Yeah.
So then he could say, now it officially has the record then because people sat like it ass literally right behind you.
Wow, that sounds really a bit magical,
yeah.
Like something you want to share. If you would choose qualities with a comedian that make you like, okay, this comedian I would love to have at my club, what sort of personal quality that person would have, besides being fun, of course?
Well, I really appreciate comics who appreciate the room. Because we obviously, like myself and Eric and Jenny, we care a lot about the club, and we know it's tough. Like we're still like just starting off. There are a lot more. There are plenty of nights when there are many more comics in the room than actual audience. But there are comics who come through, like, despite that, still love the room. Like just feel like relaxed and really appreciate it and have fun. And that's the main quality we're looking for. Just really appreciate it.
Mm.
But if you go on stage, you're like, ugh, like, how many of you are comics? Like when you're on stage, like asking the audience, like, how many of you are comics? How many? I try to be crazy. It
yeah, you
matter.
Kill the spirit actually doing that, in a sense. I'm thinking, because if I was, you know, went to Power Comedy to see stand up, I don't want to know how many comics there are in the room. I want to imagine. I'm picturing that everybody's here to watch comedy and stand up, not actually separating the room and the audience. It's better to bind them.
Yeah, it's true.
And for me personally, like I always, of course, I'm very happy when the audience laughs. Mm-hmm. I get happier when the comics laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember those. I like really remember those times.
Yeah.
Because it happens so infrequently. Yeah. No, I remember at times I just look over and see like a comic actually paying attention to me and actually really enjoying it, and then I appreciate that more than just a civilian like a regular audience member.
Yeah,
yeah. It was a sort of literature. I don't remember the term in English, not in Swedish either. But it was like it was written by authors for authors,
mm-hmm.
like or by elite for elite. Mm. So normal people wouldn't understand it. It was above the level. Now I'm really going to boost with power. But if a comedian can make other comedians laugh, then it really counts because they are choosy comedians. They have been there so many times. Mm. Like if you can make them laugh, then you're fun.
And I would often say that power is like it's like three clubs per night because we try to book no more than five comics in advance to give as much room as we can to people who just walk in off the street. So it's like the first like hour and a half of the show, the 2 hours is like any other club you would go to in town. Then the book comics are off, and then starts the marathon of everyone just walking off the street. And then it's a lot of new faces like just starting off. And you see the audience start to trickle out of like civilians start to like leave a few here, a few there, a few there. And then after a while, when it gets down to like the last like hardcore audience and then comics are on, the last comics are super relaxed and just screwing around, just doing whatever. And that's like the third version.
Mm. That's right. Okay. But what do you do when that happens, Ryan? I mean, you have like the marathon with people coming off from the streets and just signing up. Do you try to mix it up so you get not only the very beginners or you know at the end, or do you mix it up?
Yeah, we definitely try as much as possible. Mm. And we've noticed that's one thing we learned early on, the nights that we don't do that. At the basic level is first come, first serve. We start a sign up at 7 o'clock. So if you're there at 7 and you sign up, you're likely going to get on early. But we can't only do just first come, first serve, because then the audience will leave if it's if it's too new.
And all will suffer.
Yeah.
Both the comedians and the audience. Yes. So it's better to be. Yeah, okay.
But then that it caused one bit of a crisis one night when there was a guy who was awful. He was, but he came like several times. He was just terrible. But we're open to everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was there. He got there like 7 o'clock. He was there early. He was one of the first to sign up. But we couldn't put him on too early in the marathon. And then while the show was going on, like other comics, like experienced comics, were like writing, calling, showing up, can I get on? And then we wanted to put him on earlier. So they got in front of him in line, and then he threw a fit in the crowd during the show. Like they're like, "Why am I on so late?"
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And I haven't seen him since, but I'm hoping he comes back just so I can put him last, just to make a point.
Yeah, you need to be last sometimes. I mean, that's also fun, but you know, it takes some time. But it takes time to be good, and you have to stand in line. I mean, how long has Power been going?
So since February. So we saw our last February.
Oh, you started then?
Yeah.
Okay, that was right when I was starting. So for me, Power has been on for a long time. Yeah. My whole career.
Yeah. It has been as old as our career.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's good old Power comedy.
And then we started doing 2 nights a week in October was our first
October,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been there on a Wednesday yet.
No,
but I will.
Neither have I.
Haven't you?
No.
Okay.
I feel like we're still getting word out that we're even open on Wednesdays. Like people have like not everyone has even heard that, so we're like really trying to stress.
Okay, so right. That's good. So let's spread the word.
Yeah,
right?
Some Thursday I had gigs in other cities, but it feels like those weeks I'm not at Power. It really feels like a little bit like I haven't seen Auntie.
Auntie Jenny and Uncle Ryan and Uncle Eric.
Yeah. It feels like a little bit like I used to say like Emma, who's a grandma, a little bit ongest and lots of love.
I like that.
Good attitude to have also. Because if you're lucky, then you get a corporate gig. You actually get paid by some like company or a private person to go do a show, and they're always terrible.
I can imagine.
We were talking about this with someone earlier today. The fact there's a lot of times there'll be some company where like one person at the company says, "It'll be really fun to have a comic at the or Yule board or kickoff or whatever," and then you get there, and that is the one person out of the 200 that actually cares at all about comedy, and very often it's a surprise. Also, like. You try as a comic to warn people in advance, like don't make it a surprise. So you have to like let everyone know that there's gonna be a comic coming, so they get into that mindset. And almost every time they say no, it'll be a really fun surprise, and it's never a good idea.
I've done.
Just, all of a sudden, it's like okay, now we have this person. I have no idea who this is. They're gonna make you laugh. Here you go. Like always terrible. Always terrible.
I did that once.
No.
No. Yeah. We had a anniversary. I was working at in Gävle with Gävle Energy, and we had a big it was district heating was I think it was like 40 years or something, 40 years anniversary, and I booked a comedian. I don't remember his name. I know what he looks like. He's a really good comedian, Lars something, really good. And doing really good at the time. And I booked him, and he started doing his stand-up show at, I think it was 9 or something. And everybody was really drunk, too drunk, and no one was interested. So I was standing there watching, and I think one of my friends, that's it. And he was hating it. Yeah. And I think he performed for 30 minutes. That was, yeah.
For 30 minutes.
Yeah, and it was 30 minutes. And he kept going, you know. Just kept going, doing the. And he was really good.
Yeah.
But I mean, two people in the crowd, everyone else, you know, drunk and not interested. And that must have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't remember me, actually.
Alphonse, if you could program ideal club. Like from the moment you go in, and you do your gig, and you stay after, the room, everything. How would it, if you could program it? How would it
be? How would it be like? Oh,
just
oh,
like power.
Yeah, exactly like power.
Wait, do you want to come back?
I don't know. That's a hard question to answer, actually, because I would like to have a very broad audience. I mean, from different backgrounds and different type of people, and not drunk, a bit maybe, a couple of beers, no more. And I would love it to be, you know, allowing cigarette smoking.
Oh no! Yeah, is that true? Yeah, you don't smoke?
No, I don't smoke. I hate smoke. But that's, you know, the picture of having a room with smoking and a brick wall, of course, behind. And something like that. And around, I would like to perform somewhere around 9.
Yeah.
Everybody's, you know, on their toes and something like that, I'm guessing. And no food.
No food, okay.
Drinks and snacks.
And when you're done, would you just go home?
No, I would stay.
Okay.
I like staying, actually. I think that's a part of it. I'm not really, you know, I see a lot of people, I guess they're performing a lot also, but they go, they do their show or they're 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, and then they leave. But I think it's, for me, doing stand-up is not only being on stage, actually. It's more than that for me. I think I like to be at the place, watching other comedians. I learn a lot from watching, actually. I think it's a great opportunity to learn. You see how the audience reacts, and I tend to spend more time watching the audience, actually, than the comedians, because you see the reaction, and that works, that don't work, and I love that part, actually. It's so much to learn, I guess. So I would stay.
Yeah.
I would stay late.
Yeah. Like part, we always often miss the last train home.
Yeah, I've done that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Grabbing a taxi home.
Yeah.
Not jealous long.
Yeah.
Get home. It takes me 4 hours to get home.
I'm always like, oh, so you're going to get to power tonight. Yeah, it's Thursday, you know, or Wednesday nowadays. It could be. And she's like, you're going to be late. No, I'm not going to stay that long this time. But I always do.
Yeah.
But I envy your attitude, because we talked about this before we started doing the pod. Mm. It is very, very easy to get jaded. Mm. The comics who show up and leave right away. As I said, like early on when you first start off, you're so excited for every gig. You've got like, oh my God, I can't wait for that gig.
Yeah.
And then after a while, it's just like, oh, I could be on the, I can sit on the couch playing Xbox. All right, I'll go to the gig. And you show up and you leave after you're done. You do your thing. You're not very social.
Yeah.
It's not true for everyone. But you definitely get to a point like where I've heard this comic. I can do the material in my sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not getting anything more listening to them, which is a shame because you do learn a lot from watching each other.
You do. Yeah, you do.
But how does your favorite club look like?
It looks like Power.
Yeah.
No, I also host a lot at Mafia, Mafia Comedy. And that's also a lot of fun, especially when it's like just totally packed out and everyone's like really fresh and eager for a show. It's nice.
Mm.
We talk about a place in the evening. My absolute favorite spot is last in the first half, like last before the first break.
Mm.
That is, it doesn't matter where you are for me. That is the best spot because, okay, like I said, around 9 o'clock. Mm. Like by that point, the crowd's like warm enough. They're ready. Mm. Like they're gonna close the first half, and they have so much energy, and you can really do well. There are a lot of places where you'll go on, like there'll be a break. And the break is over, and like half the audience is gone because they just watched the first hour. And it just sucks.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you go up and you're on, but till later, and then there's maybe a more famous comedian coming up doing a thing, and it's the place can be really packed. And when he's done or she's done, everybody leaves, or 70% of the people, the audience in the room leaves, and you're like, fuck. That happens sometimes.
Yeah. And you never want to go on after someone who bombs.
No.
Like, but you also never want to go on after someone who annihilates. Like someone who really, really does so well.
Yeah.
And the audience is still buzzing with excitement from that last comic. And you go on like, okay, hi. You're not going to like me as much. Let's just get through this.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes 3 comedians bomb in a row. It's really hard.
Yeah. It's hard to, it's really hard. And I mean, when the audience is really with low energy and you have to go up and you have lots of energy, you can't just start, you know, rushing on because no one will follow you. You go too fast. You have to increase it a bit.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard. Well, Ryan, so what do you think? What do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Right here.
Right here. In my kitchen.
In your kitchen. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's all right.
That's one
you
thing.
You really like us.
Yeah. We have a guest room.
This is the peak. Yeah. There's nowhere to go after this. No, I honestly, I have no ambition with stand up. I know that I should, but my only real ambition with comedy is just get better at it.
Mm.
But I don't have any like, oh, next year I'm gonna be on the radio, and the year after that I'm gonna be on my own TV series, and I'm gonna be in the movies. I don't have ambition. I just I really enjoy doing this. I really have a passion for it, and I just want to keep doing it as much as I can in as many different places as I can.
Actually, last time I saw you performing, Ryan, you came from a movie set.
Oh, that's right. That's, yeah, a TV shoot. So yeah, it's nice when it happens.
All dressed up in suit and everything. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. What was that?
It was a small part in some like new web series coming out.
Mm.
So I could dress up. I had like that was also fun because I had three lines that I had to just read totally level. Like I just read the lines like.
We need to hear the lines.
One line was I was delivering money, like an inheritance, and I just said, "My condolences. Your grandfather's sister's cousin must have been a generous man." That was it. Like,
handed over
a briefcase.
Briefcase.
But I mean, just completely level, like no emotion whatsoever. Okay. Just totally flat. And I was on my way to the gig. I got a text from the director. You were fantastic. I was like, thanks. I didn't act. didn't do anything. You were perfect. And I was like, okay, well, if you have any more roles for me where I don't have to do any emotion whatsoever.
You know who to call.
Yeah. But Alphonse, what's your ambitions?
Oh, with stand-up. Mm-hmm. My ambition is really to get everything together in a good, you know, in a good way to grow and be better. I don't really see myself doing anything special, like being a professional stand-up comedian or something. I just want to be good at it and learn. That's the challenge, actually. I think it's really hard, so I'm going to grind because I love the clubs, I love the people surrounding the scene, and it's a real challenge for me learning something new. So I want to develop as a comedian, actually, and be much, much better than I am today. So that's my intention with doing stand-up, actually.
And you?
I don't have any goals yet. But what it gives me is that I have a great need. I have always had to express myself, and I have always done it. By painting or acting, and this is what I'm doing now is just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to express myself, and it developed me as a person. And yeah, like you said, I love being with the people who I like the atmosphere. It gives me a lot, and as long as it does, so I will continue. But I don't have any clear vision of what I would be in 5 years with comedy. I don't have that.
No. I have small goals, actually. I would like to MC sometimes because I think that would be fun to try.
I think that would suit you.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you never know until you...
Welcome to try it, Power, anytime you want to.
Could I?
Absolutely. We get really tired of posting.
Yeah, so. I would love that, actually, yeah, sure. to try that. That would be fun, actually, to try it. See if I could work the room the right way, being an MC. That would be fun. And the second one is actually to perform in English. So that's
what you can also do with Power.
Yeah, that would be.
Maybe we should do that.
And if you want to try puppets, you can do a puppet a power. You can anything you want to do. Yeah. You can do a power.
That's great.
Yeah, because I want to do in English as well. Maybe we should. Okay. Me and you should put it date.
Yeah, like, we should.
Yeah, and just pepper it
and just do it.
Yeah,
and we will do. We did one English night at Power, and it was really successful. So we will do another one, but in the meantime, you can do it. Whenever you want to.
Mm, great. Really? Okay, let's set a date then.
Say it now.
Yeah, I know.
But before February.
Okay, before February.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so tomorrow or Thursday?
Yeah, but Ryan, I need to rewrite my material.
So tomorrow or Thursday?
Actually, I was planning on going to Power on Thursday, but we're having a podcast. It's been great having you on, Ryan.
It's been great to be on. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
It was a pleasure having you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.